الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولو أنهم إذ ظلموا أنفسهم جاءوك فاستغفروا الله واستغفر لهم الرسول لوجدوا الله توابا رحيما سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. There's often a discussion about what the greatest place on earth is. What's the place that you absolutely want to visit or have to visit? And you know, it's a discussion at workplaces, discussion at schools, and you know, people always have these bucket lists that they want to visit, and they'll sometimes really sell this to their whoever they're communicating with. You absolutely have to go to the Grand Canyon. You absolutely have to see the Great Pyramids. You absolutely have to go A, B, and C. And I was alluding to like how Disney World at one point in time, maybe when we were children, it was like the rite of passage. And if your parents didn't take you to Disney, they weren't real parents because that's the greatest and happiest place on earth. And we, of course, as believers, we know that's not true. But then the question arises, what exactly is the best place on earth? What exactly is the best place on earth? Now, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. Just a general statement that the most beloved of places to Allah, which automatically means these are the most important spaces, he says, مَسَاجِدُهَا, are its masajid, places where sajda is made, places like this. But how about more specifically? And I'm going to just, there's a discussion the ulama have on this topic. It's actually not too much of a discussion, but it's really interesting. And I'm just going to read the translation of a piece of work from Mullah Ali Al-Qari, rahimahullah, the very famous scholar. He was a very well-known muhaddith. He was a very well-known and accepted jurist of the Hanafi madhab. And in one of his books, he talks about this. And many scholars have had this discussion. And I'm just going to read to you the translation because I think it sort of hammers home the point. He says, quote, all the scholars of Islam agree on the fact that the most virtuous of cities are the cities of Makkah al-Mukarrama and Medina al-Munawwara. So there's unanimous opinion amongst the ulama, amongst the scholars, that the most virtuous of cities is Makkah al-Mukarrama and Medina al-Munawwara. Then the scholars differed as to which one of the two is more virtuous. Which is more virtuous, Makkah or is it Medina? Right? Some stated that Makkah is more virtuous than Medina. Some stated that Makkah al-Mukarrama is more virtuous than Medina. And this is the opinion of the three imams, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, and Imam Malik rahimahullah. Imam Malik was from Medina, right? And he says, and this was his opinion. And this has also been narrated by some companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Others stated that Medina is more virtuous than Makkah. Others stated that Medina is more virtuous than Makkah. And this is the opinion of some Maliki scholars and those who followed them from the Shafi'i school. So there's two opinions, right? I mean, there's no real, you don't need to have a debate or discussion. This is a scholarly debate. But there's a difference of opinion regarding which is more virtuous, right? And most scholars would say Makkah, and others maybe had the opinion that Medina is more virtuous. It was said that this was also, that Medina is superior. It was said that this was also narrated from some of the companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. It is possible, this is in his text, that this was during the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ, or it was for those who migrated from Medina to Medina from Makkah. He's saying, so okay, maybe contextually for certain people, Medina was better because they migrated from Makkah to Medina, or because at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, to be with the Prophet ﷺ physically would be superior, so Medina would be more superior. He said there's a third opinion as well, but no one really accepts that third opinion about this. And then he continues, he said, however, the above difference of opinion is with regards to spaces or places other than the blessed grave of the Prophet ﷺ and the Kaaba. So cities generally, Makkah, Medina, a little bit of a debate. Spaces specifically, he's saying this discussion of which is more virtuous, it excludes the actual ground on which the Kaaba is and the actual ground underneath or where the Prophet ﷺ is buried. So it excludes that. He says, for the Kaaba is more virtuous than Medina. So even whoever says that Medina is more virtuous, the Kaaba is more, the piece of land, the Kaaba is more virtuous than Medina as a whole, that exact space. With the exception of the Prophet ﷺ's grave, according to all of the scholars.
He says, similarly, the blessed grave of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is more virtuous than Masjid al-Haram without any difference of opinion amongst the scholars. So much so that the majority of the scholars, Jumhur al-Ulama, like the consensus of the scholars, have stated that the piece of land on which rests the blessed body of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the most virtuous of lands on the face of this earth, by the consensus ijma' of the scholars. Even more virtuous than the Kaaba. Even more virtuous than the Kaaba. And he continues. He concludes, he says, thus, Qadi Iyad and others, the very famous scholar, have related that the consensus of the Ummah, Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, on the fact that the land on which lies the blessed Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is more virtuous than even the Kaaba. And that the difference of opinion amongst the scholars is whatever that difference is, it doesn't include that grave space of where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried. This is the consensus of the scholars, that the greatest place on earth, or the greatest ground on earth, is where the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried. And that's really important for us to appreciate and recognize, because as we sort of go through life and we make decisions about where we want to go and where we want to be and where we want to take our families and where we want to take our children, somewhere on that bucket list should be to present ourselves before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to be in that space of land, because there's no greater place on earth than it. Now, in addition to it being the best place, there's so many other benefits. And I'm saying this in the context of, you know, we have an Umrah group that's going, and many of the brothers and sisters are here. And just as a reminder for all of us, there's so much benefit in going, of course, for Umrah and Hajj, to visit the Kaaba and the house of Allah. No doubt about that. But there's incredible benefit specifically in going to visit the grave of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because according to the consensus of the scholars, this is the greatest space on earth. Who wouldn't want to go? Now, in addition to this being the physical ground, which is so, you know, which is so important, right, and so virtuous, there's other benefits as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for instance, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's alive in his grave. He's alive in his grave. The prophets in general are. I mean, this is a point of some scholarly debate, but the majority of ulama, you know, Suyuti, Ibn Hajar, and Alama, Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, they're all in agreement that the prophets are alive in their grave. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, when you combine that fact with the fact when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith that whoever visits me after my death, after I pass away, meaning my grave, whoever visits me after I pass away, visits my grave, is like the one who visited me in my lifetime. Is like the one who visited me in my lifetime. I mean, think about that for a moment, right? I mean, if the Prophet were alive today, if he were alive today and the Ummah is alive in the way we are right now, we're in existence, we most certainly would go and visit the Prophet, right? And actually, we wouldn't just visit him, we'd frequently visit him. Any opportunity we got, we'd go to visit the Prophet. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that you become a Sahabi, right? So there's a difference between the people who visited him physically when he was alive versus when he's in his grave. But it's similar in the sense that it's an incredible opportunity to be able to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this way, right? It's incredible, because if you think about it, like, if we are struggling, and the Prophet were alive today, if we were struggling with our deen, our spirituality, we had any challenge in our life, or if the ummah was struggling in some way, right? If the ummah was struggling in some way, where would we go? I would think the first place we would want to go would be to the Prophet. Say, what do we do? What do I do? And of course, we can't hear him respond. We don't know what the answer would be. But if he were alive, we would go to him and just present ourselves and say, whatever you'll offer, we'll take. Of course, we're all struggling. I mean, the Ummah is struggling. Where else should we be placing ourselves or presenting ourselves except for in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And when he's alive in the grave, they're on agreement that when you communicate your salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives his salam back. That's incredible. That's incredible. Now, you and I can't hear it, but he does this. He gives his salam back. If you were alive today and we could get one assalamu alaikum from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that would mean the world to us. We could cease to exist and we'd be content. a salam from the Prophet to us. But that it's not. But the amazing thing is that opportunity still exists today. That's what's so unique about this. You know, we like to talk about, I wish we were in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. You know, things would have been different, etc., etc. I wish I was able to see all that. Okay, that's understandable. But the opportunity of being able to communicate our salam and hear and get it back from the Prophet ﷺ is still there today. Whoever visits me after I leave this world, it's as if they visited me while I'm alive. And you combine that with the hadith, with the agreement of the scholars that the prophets are alive in their grave, the Prophet ﷺ, namely, right? I mean, who would not go? On top of that, this is the greatest land on earth, according to the jumhur, the consensus, the ijma' of the scholars. Not only is it the greatest space on earth, not only is it an opportunity for us to communicate to the Prophet ﷺ by communicating our salam and whatnot. In addition to that, it's this incredible opportunity to seek the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ as well. It's an incredible opportunity to seek the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ. The Sahaba would do this, to ask the Prophet ﷺ to ask Allah to forgive them. It comes in the Quran. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. This is from the Quran, I'm not making this up from the Quran. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ. That if you were to wrong yourselves, then you should come to the Prophet ﷺ. They should come to you, O Messenger of Allah ﷺ. They should come to you. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهُ. They should seek Allah's forgiveness. وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ. And they should ask you to seek forgiveness. They should ask you to seek forgiveness on their behalf as well. What would be the consequence of that happening? لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَابًا رَحِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept that. Done. It's one thing for you and I to ask for Allah to forgive us and to take care of us. But it's another thing for the Prophet ﷺ to do that. So this opportunity to seek his shafa'a is also there. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that whoever visits my grave, he said this when he was alive, whoever visits my grave, my intercession becomes wajib upon that person. My intercession becomes mandatory upon that person. SubhanAllah, right? The Prophet ﷺ on the day of judgment according to his own words, will be obligated to support us on the day of judgment when we need him most. So the opportunity to have the seeking of the Prophet ﷺ's forgiveness for us arises when we present ourselves to him as well. So the greatest, and of course, we don't make dua to the Prophet ﷺ. We're not worshiping the Prophet ﷺ. What we are asking from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make dua to Allah, essentially, or to intercede for us because we need his help. So not only is it the greatest space on earth, according to the consensus of the scholars, not only is it an opportunity for us to, as if he were alive today, be able to go and present ourselves, communicate our salam, and receive it back from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But on top of that, we have this incredible opportunity of being guaranteed the intercession of the Prophet on the Day of Judgment at a time and on a day in which there will be no intercession and support except for the Prophet. I mean, everyone will be going to their own prophets on the Day of Judgment, asking for them to intercede. And every single prophet will be saying, I can't help. I'm worried about myself. And the only prophet who will then say, no, I do care. I'm going to support you. Ummati, my ummah is the Prophet ﷺ. And he's the one who's going to be there for the ummah. Now imagine locking in that spot with the Prophet ﷺ holding our hand. How? Because we went and placed ourselves and we visited the grave of the Prophet ﷺ. So the opportunity is, I mean, it's hard to even imagine that this is an opportunity in this day and age. I mean, how could we even fathom going anywhere else, or let's say, adding other places to our bucket list if we haven't yet presented ourselves in our life to the Prophet ﷺ? Or how could it be that an extended period of time goes by and we visit all these other places that other people deem to be important and other people deem to be of virtue and value when we haven't visited the Prophet ﷺ? So the take home for today is two. Number one is that of course, we go to Umrah, we go for Hajj, and we do this because of this incredible opportunity to present ourselves before the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, return back as newborn children, and completely erase the mistakes that we've made of the past and renew our faith. But we should also bear in mind that another very important opportunity that arises from this interaction or this experience is the opportunity to present ourselves before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the second is that just like we make priorities in life for things that we want to do and places that we want to visit, all of us, you know, our families as well, we should have an intention and make an effort to visit the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We would do it if he were alive today, 100%. We would do it if he were alive today, 100%. So why wouldn't we do it after he's left this world as well? Recognizing that the opportunities are similar. We don't become Sahaba, but the opportunities are similar to as if he were alive today. And all four madhahib are in agreement that it's mustahab to visit the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after he's passed away. To specifically go visit the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's mustahab, it's highly recommended and encouraged. So yeah, and I recognize that there's a lot of other things that go into this. You can't just, you know, book a flight and go. There's a cost, a financial cost involved. There's time off. There's, if someone has responsibilities to where their family, to where their parents, to where their children, you can't just pick up your, but, so this isn't something that needs to happen every month, but at some cadence, some interval, and at least on our list somewhere, in our heart somewhere, should be this intense desire to visit the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it should be something that we, our families, our children, and our community as a whole makes a priority, especially in times when we ourselves or our community or the ummah, the Prophet is struggling. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all this, us all the tawfiq at least once in our life so that we can seek that intercession of the Prophet to present ourselves before him. May we all have the opportunity to communicate our salam to him and receive the salam back in response from him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the trips to the Haramain that those that may be traveling will be performing. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.